This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
I just want you to know, last night, this morning, were just such a blessing. I appreciate so much your hearts, the way that you have received the word, and just everything. And I just can't say enough about that. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Hebrews 11. That won't be our text, but I want to start here tonight. You know, I just really wanted to share with you guys how enjoyable it has been. And my wife will tell you, last night I came back so excited. I said, really, it was amazing. And then this morning was just, I just didn't realize how many people come to this church and what's going on in this church. Now, I'm very excited about tonight. Tonight's not at the end of anything. Tonight is the beginning of everything. Okay, so do not think like, oh, we did our little three-night thing, you know. No, guys, this is just the beginning tonight. Now, this morning we learned the object of our faith, and the object of our faith has got to be the Lord. But now that he is your object, I'm going to tell you what he's going to tell you to do. He's going to tell you to take a step. He's going to tell you to do something. Now that he's your object, he's going to tell you to move out, man. To do a step. Now, I want you to see how important tonight's message is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. If I were to ask you tonight, give me a show of hands of how many of you want to please the Lord, I think there would be 100% of hands go up. I really don't. The spirit that's in this place, I think every hand would go up. Man, I want to please the Lord. Well, I'm going to show you how to please the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And by the way, remember this morning's message in Habakkuk. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now notice this, because you got to get the right object. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remember, you get the right person, it's about a who, and then after you get the who, then it is going to be about, well, what's my next step now, Lord? What do I need to do? It is impossible to please God without him. Now, take your Bibles and turn to our text. This is all we're going to turn to the rest of the night. We're going to walk through this passage of Scripture. It's in Exodus. We're going to start in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Now, I have some really disappointing news for you tonight, okay? So, and I'm smiling and I'm making it fun. It's not funny and it's not good. I've got some bad news for you. The story did not end well in that house. Let me tell you what happens. So after he says, you tell me, you explain that to me and I'll receive your Savior. Dave and I sat at that table. Well, I didn't even know what went wrong. They started to cry at that moment. She, you know, him and her started to cry. I talked to them a little bit. Well, you know, I don't even remember what I said. It was so many years ago. I don't remember what I said, but I'm going to tell you what happens. Dave and I end up just getting up and walking out while they're still crying at the table. At that time, they never got saved. I don't know what that ever was, so I'm sorry. I was really, really disappointed. I would have loved to say they both got saved. They're members of the church and everything. You know what? But I will tell you the severity of that. The point of that whole thing is even more emphatic. If you are trying to figure out a why before you believe, it's never going to work. Those people would not receive Christ as their Savior. You give me the explanation. I don't know what that. Something happened to the child. I think that they probably lost the child. The child probably, we didn't hear a thing. So I'm thinking they lost their child. But whatever it is, they were not going to receive Christ until they understood why God did. And by the way, if you could sit down and say, well, the reason why God took your little baby home is because of this, this, and this, and this is what he, would that have, oh, okay, now I'll receive Jesus. Would that have done it? No. They had to put their faith in God. Now, tonight, I'm going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone. And I've learned something about my comfort zone. Every great thing that has ever happened in my life, from marrying that woman to being here right now at West Coast Baptist. Every great thing that has ever happened in my life happened when I took a step out of my comfort zone. Every great experience I have ever had in my life occurred when I took a step out of my comfort zone and said, God, I can't, but I'm going to trust you that you can. So I want to give you a group of people. We have over 2 million Jews at a cul-de-sac, at a dead end, if you would. They're at the Red Sea, and I want to go right to our text, but we won't get back to it till the very end of the message. So when we get to there, we'll be really done with the message. But I want to start there. Exodus chapter 14, and I want you to look at verse 15. And I have to tell you a story. So about 13 years ago, I was doing a series in Sunday school. I was pastoring, and I had like a newcomers class. And I was doing a series on the life of Moses with these newcomers that were visiting the church and everything. And there was a floor tile carpet layer. His name was Joe Fox. And him and his wife were visiting our church. A very godly man, very, very sincere godly man. And we were done with our Sunday school lesson, and I had just taught Exodus 13 and 14, Israel going to the Red Sea. Now, I had to get ready for the morning worship service, and there were some things I had to do and different things. We had to get moving, and there was preparation, and I had to get going for the morning worship service. So I walked out of my Sunday school class, and I'm walking along, and Joe says, "Hey, Pastor, can I ask you a question?" What do you got? I got to kind of get going, but what do you have? What's about your lesson today? Well, I'm thinking to myself, well, I got a pretty good handle on Exodus 13 and 14. So I'm thinking like, well, whatever he's going to ask. I mean, this is a carpet layer, you know. I can handle whatever question he's going to ask, you know. So I said, yeah, Joe, what's your question? He said, Pastor Scheller, why did God tell Moses to stop praying? I said, Joe, I don't know for sure. I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? He said, Exodus 14 and verse 15. And so it kind of caught my attention. So we're kind of walking through this hallway, this building, and I stop and I said, Joe, what are you talking about? In Exodus 14, 15, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He told him to stop praying. Moses was praying and crying out to God, and God says, no, hey, stop it. Why are you crying out to me? Why are you praying? He said, why did God tell Moses to stop praying? And I said, well, Joe, you got to understand here. You got all of Israel here. They're at the Red Sea. Yeah, I know. But why did he say? Well, Joe, what you have here is, and why God did that, and you see, Joe, Joe, I don't know. I said, Joe, I do not know why God told Moses to stop praying. But I tell you what, I'll give you an answer. The answer to that question moves Marilee and I from a place we had been for 31 years. I went to college in Pensacola. I was a youth pastor of the church there. I was a senior pastor for 18 years. We end up staying there for 31 years. I get the answer to this question, and the Lord moves us on. I'm going to tell you the answer, why God told Moses to stop praying. I want to tell you this, New Life Baptist. You guys have prepared well for this. You have prayed, you have fasted. But there is a point in your Christian life where prayer stops and it's time to take a step of faith. It's time to go forward. Tonight I want to talk about that step. That every one of you, if you're going to please God, we got some children in here, we got some teenagers in here, we have a few senior saints like me and my wife, and my wife's not, but I am, you know. We got a few older ones in here, we've got all mixed, but I am going to tell you this, you cannot please God without taking a step of faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray tonight that Exodus 13 and Exodus 14 would come alive at New Life Baptist Church. I pray tonight that this story that many of them could tell, I pray that the scriptures would come alive. And then, Lord, when we get to the very end,
I pray that they would be willing to go forward. I pray that they would be willing to take their step of faith. It has been an absolute privilege and joy to preach last night in here, this morning in the performing center. Lord, it has been a joy to be with the believers of New Life Baptist. But Lord, I think the reason is for tonight. Now, we have a smaller core group here tonight, but this core group could change Antelope Valley. This core group could change thousands of lives. Our country, our state that is such a messed up, could be changed by what could happen in this room tonight. If everyone in here took their step of faith, the glory it would bring to you and the work that you would do would be absolutely amazing. And then, Father, I don't know their names, but I love their spirit. For the spirit of this church to continue, they've got to keep taking steps. Lord, I pray tonight, everyone in here, every teenager, every single adult, every young married couple, every middle-aged person, every senior saint, I pray that every one of us would take the next step of our spiritual life. And I do pray that for Marilee, Luke, and I. I have no idea where the Holy Spirit will lead, but wherever He leads, may we say, God, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to trust You. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and God's children said, amen. Okay, let's look at Exodus chapter 13, and literally we are just going to walk through this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to share a couple things with you, and we're not going to get to... And when we get to the... At verse 15, it'll be great. By the way, let me just tell you this really quickly. I fly all over the place, and I fly in on big jets, okay? One thing I'm really thankful for are long runways. Okay, if you got a big jet, you need a long runway, okay? Tonight, I am going to land a jumbo truth on your heart. In order to land this truth on your heart, I need a long runway, okay? So you may be going like, where's he going? Where's he going? Stay with me. Because when the truth lands, you're going to go like, wow, that was absolutely life-changing, okay? So everyone stay with us. Let's have a Bible study together. Exodus chapter 13, let's look at verse 17. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Everyone together, what did it say? Okay, there's an old preacher that used to live in California. His name was J. Vernon McGee. His favorite verse in the Bible was, and it came to pass. And it's all over the place, too. And it came to pass. And can I tell you right now, whatever you're going through in your life right now, it will come to pass. If you're on a mountaintop, get ready. It's coming to pass. Hey, if you're down in a valley, get ready. It's going to come to pass. Everything is going to come to pass in your life, okay? So, and it came to pass. But this is a big one. This is a 400-year, and it came to pass. Because for 400 years, God made a promise with Israel that said that one day, remember Joseph's brothers come over, they stay in Goshen land, 400 years, they multiply and multiply, but Joseph said, hey, one day you guys are leaving and you're going to go back to the promised land. This is the day. And it came to pass, this is the day. You know what? Could that be tonight at New Life Baptist Church? Let's continue on. I got something else. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. Okay, so I taught this story for years. I knew this story for years, and there was something that always this kind of bothered me. Why do they got to go through Pharaoh? These are God's chosen people. Why do they have to go through Pharaoh? Why doesn't God just tell Moses, Moses, I'm sending you back into Goshen, get all the people, and let's get going. Well, they're kind of under Egyptian. That's all right. I'll take care of the Egyptians, and I'll take care of that guy, Pharaoh. Let's just go. Isn't it interesting? Everyone, you got to get this. Isn't it interesting that God always recognizes, now hear this, and always works through authority? Yeah, but if the authority's bad, I don't have to obey it. Okay, you don't get worse than Pharaoh. But isn't it interesting? God says, Israel, you do not leave the nation of Egypt until the authority of Egypt says it's okay to go. I want you to know that is an incredible spiritual point. If you have authority over you, you need to allow God to work through that authority. Even if you go, oh, that's terrible authority, does not matter. Allow God to work through. God finally moved. Got Pharaoh to say, get out of here. And by the way, when they did, he gave them all the treasures of Egypt, did he not? They all left with all the treasures of Egypt. If you do it God's way, in God's time, under God's authority, God will bless you. Now that's free. That has nothing to do with the message tonight, but that's a good point. Okay? And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. Now get this one. Now we get into our message. That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Okay, so if you got out a Bible map, you don't have to, but if you got out a Bible map and you see where Israel was for 400 years, it was in Goshen. It'd be, excuse me, today a little bit south of Cairo. Beautiful area, the Nile Valley area. Okay, so that's where they were. If you saw where the promised land was over here, and you drew a straight line. Now, I took a class in high school called geometry. Anyone take that class? We got some geometry? Not too many, okay. I took this thing called geometry. I don't remember a thing about geometry, except for one thing. I remember Mrs. Zabel. She was our geometry teacher. There's only thing I remember from geometry is this. The shortest distance between any two points is a straight line. That's the only thing I remember, okay? The shortest distance between any two points is a straight line. Guess who didn't take geometry? God. God didn't take geometry. Because I don't know about you guys, but it hasn't been a straight line for Shetler. It's like, what are we doing over here? God, where are you going, Lord? You know what? A lot of times we think we know the best route. God says, no. This would be the straightest route, but you'd have to go through the Philistines. Now you say, oh, God was protecting them from the Philistines. Oh, this is so good of God. He was so kind. He was protecting them. Okay, so where'd he put them? A dead end for the Egyptians to come and get them. You say, well, what's your point? Here's my point. Where he ends up leading them is a place of no return. Where he ends up leaving him, and by the way, some of you, I asked last night how many of you were new believers. Many of you are new believers. You hear what I'm going to tell you. He led them very quickly in their journey to a place where all they could do is depend on God. Yes. Now, let me tell you this. God will lead us to a place early in our Christian life that the only thing we can do, God, I got to depend on you. There is no other way out of this place but you. So God's going to take them to a dead end. He's going to take them to a cul-de-sac so that the only thing they can do is say, God, you have to do it. And then we take our step of faith. Okay, continuing on. It's getting good. Keep it up, sister. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Okay, so now, look at this. But God led them about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. All right, jump down. Oh. I just got to give you verse 19, okay? It doesn't have anything to do with the message either, but it's so good. And Moses took the, everyone together, bones of Joseph. Okay, so when Joseph dies, this is 400 years earlier. When Joseph dies, he gets all his brothers together. He says, guys, I'm going to die. But I'm going to tell you something. You guys are going back to the promised land. I know you're going back to the promised land. And when you go back to the promised land, take my bones and bury them in the promised land. Now, you hear this. By the way, this is how Joseph gets into Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. Okay, everyone in Hebrews 11 did all these great acts of faith. You'd say, well, Joseph fought Potiphar's wife. No, that's not why he's there. Well, Joseph did the dream. That's not why he's there. You know how he got into Hebrews 11? Because he said to those people, he said to his brethren, one day you will be back in the promised land. And when you go back, take my bones and bury them there. So the blessed hope for the nation of Israel for 400 years, their blessed hope was Joseph's bones. So when they were in bondage and they were enslaved, they'd go like, oh, this is terrible. Hey, don't forget Joseph's bones. Boy, that's right. One day we're going to get out of here. One day we're going to. It was Joseph's bones that were their blessed hope. Aren't you thankful today? We don't have dead men's bones as our blessed hope. We have an empty tomb as our blessed hope. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Guys, we don't have a dead man's bones. We have an empty tomb. And that's our blessed hope. Jesus is coming back. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with our message, but it's just too good. That's just too good. All right, let's get back to our message. Verse number 20. And they took their journey from Sukkot and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them. Now get this, this is so good. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Okay, now, in these verses I just read, we find the two ways that God led the people of Israel. He led them two ways. Number one, he gave them a cloud to follow. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, and then he gave a pillar. And no, stop. The fire was for illumination, protection, and heat. But it did not give guidance. The cloud gave guidance. Well, what was the other thing that guided them? Moses. Moses told them the way to live. The cloud showed them where to go. Let me say that again. The cloud showed them where they needed to go. Moses told them how to get there, how to live their life. Are you with me? He gave them two things. Well, 13 years ago, Marilee and I left Pensacola, Florida. We'd been there for 31 years. I'm telling you, I lived in a bubble. It was the most comfortable bubble in the world. Everyone loved us. I couldn't go anywhere in the city where people didn't know us. We had a national telecast. People just loved us. I had all kinds of college students. Everyone loved Brother Shetler. Everyone loved me. We had the best place in the world. Everyone loved. We got a great salary. We had great money. We were living comfortably. But I'll tell you what we weren't living by. We weren't living by faith. And God moved us on. And God said, you know what, Shetlers? It's time for you to take your step of faith and to move. Now, we were in our late 40s, like 49, 50. Now, we would have loved to have a cloud and to have Moses guide us. We didn't have that. Matter of fact, I would have given anything for wake up one morning and merrily look outside and she said, Jim, you have got to see this. It is completely clear, but there is a cloud over our van. Marilee, that's the cloud that's going to guide us. That's how we're going to know where to go. And Jim, there's an old man standing by the van that looks like Charlton Heston. Marilee, that's Moses. That's Moses. We got it. And oh, we pack the van. We get in the van. The cloud goes and we start driving west. And we're going through Texas, and I say, Lord, please let that cloud go through Texas. I don't want to stop here. And we go through the cloud, and we got Moses in the van. And Moses is saying, thou shalt not speak that way to thy wife. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt do that. I got Moses, and I got a cloud. Wouldn't that be great? God didn't give us that. But God gave us two things better. God gave us the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now listen, New Life Baptist members. You don't get a cloud, and you don't get Moses, but you get two things to guide you in life that are better. You got the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you. He'll say, no, don't know that. Don't say that. He'll guide you with your conscience. And then number two, you got the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'll tell you what, in all of our lives, Marilee will say this, in all of our lives, we were never more tender to the Holy Spirit, and we never read the scriptures more intently I left Pensacola not knowing where we were going. I did not know where we were going. And we trusted the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to guide us. He guided us to Santa Maria, California. I pastored up in Santa Maria for 6 years, and through that I developed a relationship with Pastor Chapel. My youngest son, Drew, goes to West Coast Baptist College, and things begin to open up, and an opportunity to go back into college work opened up for us to come here. But you know what? It wasn't by Moses, and it wasn't by a cloud. It was by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that's guided us. Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff. Okay, so verse number one. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Siphon, before it shall ye camp by the sea. In other words, it's a dead end. He leads the people of Israel to a rock and a hard place, so to speak. I mean, you got, these are all mountains. Pi-hahiroth, Migdol, Baal Siphon, they're all mountains. So they go through this little one way in, no way out. And he camps them there. And then comes, now look at this. And now look at verse 4, because we're going to talk about this for a minute. This is going to be so helpful for the rest of your life. And you need to get this at this church. And I will, everyone together, what's the next word? Harden Pharaoh's heart. Okay, now this is really interesting. You say, Brother Shelley, you do realize this is a very delicate doctrinal spot here. Yeah. Well, I'm going to explain it to you. Okay, so here's the scoop. 14 times in the Torah, and in the New Testament, by the way, Old Testament and New Testament, 14 times it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. 14 times. 8 times it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So I got a question for you. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? God! The Bible says 14 times, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But 8 times it says, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So what's the answer? You know what the answer is? Yes. That one is you. You didn't want that, did you? The answer is yes. The Bible says 14 times God hardened Pharaoh's heart, so God must have done it. But the Bible says 8 times Pharaoh hardened his heart, so Pharaoh must have done it. You say, Dr. Seller, that doesn't make any sense. Let me give you an illustration that has helped me. Let's say we went... Marilee and I stayed in Scottsdale, Arizona one time some years ago. We stayed at a little timeshare place that her parents had, and we were staying there. While we were there, at this point in my life, it was the hottest I'd ever been. It was 116 degrees outside. Now, I think I've been a little hotter there. I think it's been a little hotter here since we've been here, but it was 116 degrees. That's the hottest it's ever been. I told Marilee, honey, I'm going to go out and run. She says, you're going what? I'm going to go out and jog. She said, you can't jog. It's too hot. I said, no, I just want to experience what it's like to run, you know, like in an oven, you know, so it'll be good. So I went out, and I ran, 100 yards. And I said, this is crazy. I can't breathe. This is too hot. Now, let's go to Scottsdale, 116 degrees. I'm on the sidewalk. Let's say I pull out on that sidewalk a little box. Open it up, and inside is a bunch of mucky old clay. And I reach down into that mucky old clay, and I slap it on the sidewalk. And I take that clay, and I put that mucky old clay on the sidewalk. And I go down, 20 yards or so, and I got another little wagon. And I open up a cooler, and I put out a big block of ice. And I put that block of ice on the sidewalk. And I go back in and have lunch with Marilee. About 2 hours later, I come out, 116 degrees over there, 116 degrees here. I come out about 2 hours later, and I look over at the clay. I need your help. I come over to the clay, and it's been sitting, no humidity, 116 degree heat. And I look down at the clay, and I touch it, and everyone together, the clay has, everyone together,
hardened.
The clay has hardened. And I walk down to the block of ice. And I look on the sidewalk, everyone together, and the ice has hardened. Everyone together, the ice has hardened. Right? What happened with the ice? No, guys, same sun down here, same sun down there. Same temperature here, same temperature there. The clay hardened, and the ice hardened. The ice melted. Wait a second. How does one substance harden and the other melt? You will know this in the years go by. I'm telling you, Pastor, you get up and you preach your heart out. And you got this like, oh, this great truth. And there will be people. And right now, you got an incredible spirit going on. But you know what? You'll preach on some things. There will be people that will come up afterwards. Pastor, you will never know what you just preached. I needed that so bad, and their heart melted. But there will be people that will go out to the parking lot just the way they came in. No, no. They'll go out hardened because they didn't respond to the word. Now, the word did not change. So, by the way, so if I were to ask you, what hardened those people's hearts that went out to the parking lot? Oh, that was Pastor Peter's preaching. That's what did it. His pastor's preaching. Would that be true? Yes, it would. It was pastor's preaching. Who melted their hearts? Was it pastor? Yeah, it was pastor's. Listen, the same sun that hardens the clay melts the ice. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? Well, God did. God being God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But you know what? You can also respond and it melt. Now you hear this New Life Baptist, because this is your key to your future. If you continue to come to this church and you do not respond to the preaching of God's word, you will grow hard. What is so special right now, what's happened over the last couple years here, is that you've been like ice and you've melted in the sun. When you start hardening your heart and not responding, who hardened Pharaoh's heart? God did, but Pharaoh did. They both did. God was being God. God kept on bringing a plague, and with every plague, Pharaoh said, no! And let me tell you something about a hardened heart. Look at this. But believe me, we're close to the end, believe it or not. Even they said, Brother Shelley, we got a lot of verses to go. I don't know where we're getting there. We're circling the runway right now, okay? Okay, and listen to this, because in my Bible, I got written down the stupidest question in the entire Bible. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Oh, I wish I could have been there that day. Oh, I got this. I got this. Why did we let Israel go? Why did we let Israel go? Oh, I got this. Yes, you in the back. Why did we let Israel go? Can I give you 10 reasons why we let them go? We let them go because their God is God. We let them go because we were done drinking the Kool-Aid out of the Nile, the blood. We let them go because it was so dark we couldn't see our hand in front of our face. We let them go because of the hail. We let them go because of the plagues. And this is my favorite. We let them go because of the frogs. By the way, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, let me tell you something. God took every one of the deities of the Egyptians and mocked every one of their gods. He said, you guys are going to worship frogs? Yes, frogs are deity. Well, then I'm going to give you frogs to worship. And the Bible says he covered the land with frogs. I looked up that word covered, sister. You know what it means? It means covered. It does. It's the word to blanket. You couldn't walk anywhere and not step on frogs. Can you imagine that? Squish, 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 squish. Squish, 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 squish. I can't stand it. Squish, 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 squish. I've had it with this. I'm going to go back to my bedchamber and go to bed. And they would go to their bedchamber. Squish, squish, squish. They'd pull back the covers and they would jump in bed. And guess what? Squish. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says they were in the bedchambers. The frogs. I can't stand this. I got to get something to eat. And they would get up and go to the kitchen. Squish, 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 squish. And they would take a loaf of bread and they would bite it into the bread. And guess what? Squish. Oh, Brother Shelley, you're just preaching now. Bible says they were in the kneading troughs that they made the bread. Guys, you want to serve frogs? then I'm going to give you frogs. You know what I've learned in life? A lot of times the very thing you're praying for, sometimes God says, you know what? You don't understand. That's not the best thing for you, but I'm going to give it to you. So you realize you don't want it anymore. Why? Why did we let Israel go? Why did we let Israel go? You know why we let Israel go? Because their God was God. And we let them go. But you know what? And Pastor, this is so true. When people begin to harden their hearts, they don't make any sense. I've counseled many of people. I counsel some of these college kids. Why are you leaving college? Oh, because finance, and you know, I got a better job and my parents really want me home and I could help do a Sunday school class back in my home. Well, you're not thinking. You're not thinking. But when you begin to harden your heart, you don't think right. You say, Brother Scheller, are we going to get to our text? We're going to get to it right now. So here they go. They come after them. They get everyone together and they come after them. Look at verse number 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them all their horses. They come after them. Look at verse number 11. And they said unto Moses. Now, the Israelites are seeing the Egyptians come. They know they're at the Dead Sea. Well, that's what they're going to think. It's the Red Sea. But they're thinking they're at the Dead Sea. And they're starting to come at them, and they know there's no place to go. And look what happens. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? So they all start complaining. Oh, what have you done, Moses? Yeah! You got us out only to kill us at the Red Sea. Look at verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should have died in this wilderness. And then Moses gets up. You know what? Because of time, I can't tell you about my story. But I brought with me Moses' rod. I found this up in Canada. I don't know how Moses got his rod up there, but this is Moses' rod. It's the coolest story. I don't have time to tell you right now, but I got Moses' rod with me. So I want you to see what happens in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have served today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And God's people said. And now we go to Joe Fox's question. Pastor Scheller, why did God tell Moses to stop praying? So what are you talking about, Joe? Well, verse 15, he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? I don't know, Joe, but I'll find out. So as I studied that week, this is the only thing I can figure out. I believe at that moment, the Red Sea is you guys. I believe at that moment, he looked at the people of Israel, and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you have served, you will never serve again. The Lord will fight for you. And this is what I think happens. The Lord will fight for you. And Moses turns around, looks out at the Red Sea, and holds up his rod. And he says, now, God, do it. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. God, no! God, and this is your message tonight. God said to Moses, stop your praying. I'm not doing nothing. I have done 10 plagues. I have revealed who I am. It is now time at New Life Baptist. It is now time for Israel to take their step. And I'm not parting any sea until they go forward. By the way, if you think this is a like one-time ever event, You can trace Israel's history basically by the crossing of two bodies of water, the Red Sea for salvation and the Jordan River for sanctification. Because they enter into the promised land the same way. They got to put their feet in the Jordan River before God does anything. And they had to go forward. In other words, here's your scene, gang. You got 2 million Jews at the Red Sea. You got the Egyptians coming. You got Moses crying to God, God, you got to do something. And you got God saying, I ain't doing nothing. You tell them to go forward. And when they take their step of faith, I'll do my part. I believe, New Life Baptist, this is where you guys are right now. You have seen God do some amazing things. The Spirit here is phenomenal, but I'm going to tell you, if you do not take your step of faith, you're done. You're done. It'll be weeks, it'll be months, but you won't be setting up as many chairs. You got to start taking your step of faith. Now, this doesn't only work for a church, it works for a family. There are husbands in this home that needs to take a step of faith and said, you know what, honey? We're going to start having family altar. You know what? We're going to start tithing. We can't tithe. We don't have the money. You know what? We need to tithe them what we got. And we need to trust God. We can't do it financially. You know what you need to do? You need to get out and soul win. You got people that Pastor Moore is never going to reach or never going to know. You've got people that you work with. You've got relatives. You've got neighbors that you need to take a step of faith. God, I'm praying for my neighbor to get saved. And God's saying, hey, go down and take them some cookies, man. God's saying, you know that you got a coworker right now going through cancer. You ought to be all over that, Christian. You ought to be, oh, I'm praying for them. It's my coworker, and I'm praying that God will reveal himself to them. Yeah, he needs you to do it. He needs you to take your step and start witnessing. Now, this is what I prayed with Pastor Moore before this service. Lord, I don't know what the step is. Some of you have not been baptized yet. Man, I got to tell you what, I've seen 7 baptisms since I've been here last night. That has been the coolest thing in the world. You know what baptism is? It's a step of faith, is it not? That's a little scary getting in that cold tank. You don't know, and boy, he does it different every time. Every person gets baptized differently. I mean, he doesn't have this thing down yet, you know. It's a little scary. That's a step of faith. And they're not walking on the water out there, man. I'm telling you. You know what? Some of you need to get baptized. Some of you need to join this church. Oh, we just like coming. We're just enjoying what's happening. It's not about you enjoying. It's about you getting involved. You need to start saying, you know what? New Life Baptist is my church. It's my home. That's a step of faith. Some of you have struggled with an area of your life. You got an anger you've never had victory over. You got a lust you've never seen. You have a self-will. You're strong in your pride. And you said, yeah, I've just always struggled with being really stubborn and self-willed. You need to take a step of faith to kill that. And when you take your step of faith, the Holy Spirit comes on and gives you the power. God says to them, I'm not doing anything. You tell them to go forward. Now this, I've told you guys a lot of Hebrew words. This may be the coolest one of the weekend. The Hebrew words for go forward are, get this, pull up your tent pegs. Look it up. In the Strong's Concordance, if you have a Strong's Concordance, it is number 5265, okay? Look it up sometime. If you got a Bible app or something like that, the words go forward, 5265 in your Strong's Concordance, is the words pull up your tent peg. To pull up your tent peg. In other words, here's what he's saying. I just need you guys to take up camp. Get ready to move. Pull up your tent pegs and get ready to move. I'll do the rest. But pull your tent pegs up because I'm leading you forward, New Life Baptist. You know what it's time? It's time for you to pull up your tent pegs and to say, God, this is it. I'm going to take my step of faith. I'm going to ask the ushers to do something right now. Could I get the ushers, Joe and the other guys? Could you guys hand out these cards? Now, I got one of these cards here. Joe, you gave me one of these. Now, Pastor mentioned this morning. When he did, I went like, ooh, this is going to be good. There's a little card that they make here. It's called New Life Next Steps. And you put your name, you got your email, And then we got one for worship. You got salvation, baptism, be part of a small group, serving, personalized Bible study, outreach, membership. Okay, some of you, the Lord wants you to take a step tonight. You mark this and say, God, that's the step I need to take. Now, this is the coolest part about our little card. Look on the back. There is nothing there. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. So we're going to do something a little different tonight. I'm going to ask Pastor to stand here. And just a moment, we're going to have an invitation song. If you would like, you say, you know, Brother Shetler, the step I got to take is not on the front. Write it out on the back. Put your name on it, and this will be, I cannot think of a cooler prayer list than this. Tell Pastor the step you want him to pray for in your life. Put your name, Jim Shetler, on the front and put on the back, my thought life. I want to see victory in my thought life. I need to start taking some steps. I need to die to self. I'm very self-willed. I want to die to self. I need to take some steps. Maybe your step is not on the front. Maybe you need to put your step on the back. But God is saying to you tonight, I need to start tithing. I need to start soul winning. I need to start something right now. Pastor will take this. Now, hey, listen. This is, okay, we believe in the individual priesthood of the believer. If you say, you know what, I don't like this kind of stuff. This is between me and God. You know what? I just want you to know I am absolutely fine with that. I know you are too. You might be, you say, I am making a decision tonight, but you know what? It's between me and God. I don't even want Pastor praying about it. It's between me and God. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But I am going to tell you, this is a blessing. You have a pastor and his wife that will lift you up. You have a pastor and his wife that will pray. What a cool prayer list. Pastor, this is the step I need to take. I'm going to ask you to come on up and hand it to Pastor. Now, he's not going to take time to read it. He's not going to take time to pray with you, okay, right now. But you're saying, Lord, by your grace and for your glory, this is the step I'm ready to take. And God, I want my pastor to pray for this because I think this is the step of faith I need to take. Listen. Now listen to this. Some of you may be called into ministry. Some of you need to take that step. Some of you, maybe God's moving you to another valley and another place. God did that with Marilee and I. You know, I really think this was the message I needed to know. I love this place. I love this church. But I think God's leading us somewhere else. Okay, take your step. I think God wants us to join. Put that down. This is my step of faith. It is impossible to please God without faith.
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.